The second part of our series on setting the mood in stories. This time, setting the mood using milieu. We'll talk about what milieu is, as well as how can we use it to invoke feelings in the audience. This week on Be the Story. So what do you do when life hits you so hard that you come home at night after work and you're so tired your eyes hurt? Actually, I think in my case, maybe I need new glasses. That is something that's a distinct possibility. But it's also true that at work we've been in the middle of this huge crunch. Thankfully, I think we've delivered all the functionality we'll need for May the 1st, so the worst of it is over. And this is just my very, very clumsy way of saying I'm sorry that I've been perpetually late with these podcasts. I mean, this one, right now it's Tuesday night, so I was supposed to do this 2 days ago. And, you know, a part of me really, really hates everything to be so intensely busy because, I mean, I really don't have time to read. Although somehow I have managed to keep up on reading blogs, believe it or not. Of course, most of the blog entries, even the interesting ones, I have just skipped. But that's okay. I've also started reading Christopher Vogler's The Writer's Journey. This is a classic, if you're not familiar with The Writer's Journey, it's a classic examination of mythic structure, kind of a sequel to Joseph Campbell's The Hero with a Thousand Faces, except maybe not quite so academic. And, you know, Joseph Campbell's work, that's one of those things that, you know, you can't get into writing at all without becoming familiar with his work in some form, but it's only recently that I've actually begun to read The Writer's Journey, and I also have a copy of Hero with a Thousand Faces, which I have not gotten through yet, and it's only recently that I got around to watching The Power of Myth with Joseph Campbell and Bill Moyers. And, you know, that's all just such fascinating stuff. There are reasons why classic mythic structures, you find them repeated in many different cultures around the world, even cultures that come from completely different roots. You find them in the standard stories, standard storylines. And there's a reason why. Recently, a friend of mine asked me if I could write a story based on the hero's journey from Joseph Campbell and Christopher Vogler's work. And of course I can, because no matter how you approach a story, no matter what method you use, if it turns out to be a good story, it's going to have certain elements in it, because these elements fulfill certain purposes. On Be the Story, I talk an awful lot about general rules or aspects of stories, whereas if you look at something like the hero's journey or, you know, the classic three-act structure or seven-act structure, whichever variation you want, those structures kind of put all the rules together. What I'm saying is that if you take all the rules that are appropriate to the story you're telling and apply them, I believe that you will come up with a hero's journey. And, you know, I think if I were to write about that, that would be at least a month's worth of blog posts. That subject right there. So basically, I'm really enjoying the writer's journey, really enjoying getting into this material in that level of detail. Now, on BeTheStory.com, since last week, I have posted only one blog post, just a little rant on one of my pet peeves, loose instead of lose. Loose is spelled with two O's, lose is spelled with one. Why is it that so many, many people, and it seems, is this popping up more and more recently in like over the past year? Or is it just my imagination that more and more people seem to be misspelling the word lose? It drives me absolutely batty. I think I'm loosing my marbles. You see, they're rolling all over the floor. I'll never be able to get them back in. They're gone. I've set them loose. Ooh, here. Here we go. My daughter's marbles. Now, there used to be, 100 marbles? Yeah, it used to be 100 marbles in here. It looks like my daughter has already loosed a lot of them. So, I'm going to loose some more. Ready? There you go. Free marbles, go free. All right, enough of that. You see, now, Jim Saldog Sullivan agrees with me. He actually wrote on BeTheStory.com, commented that, meaning using loose instead of lose, that is one that just makes my toes curl up and steam come out of my ears. Even worse is when someone spells it incorrectly as an adjective, loosing rather than losing. Well, let me tell you, Jim, I feel exactly the same way, so don't lose your cool. I'm going to take a little break now, maybe pour myself a little more wine. And then I'm going to talk about using the milieu to create a mood. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Larry Lessig of the Electronic Frontier Foundation. We've been fighting for your free speech rights for more than 15 years now. So join us so we can accomplish even more. Go to EFF.com and become a member today. Thanks a lot.
Okay, guys, roll to hit the Vampire Gazebo. You hit.
Hey, guys, what are you doing? Role playing?
Oh, no, it's that guy.
No, we're not doing anything. We're just watching TV.
Aw, that's too bad, because I brought along my new gaming girlfriend.
Hello, boys. Mind if I max out on charisma?
Whoa! Hey, did you get that hot gaming girlfriend from listening to Gamer the Podcasting?
Yeah, of course!
Gamer the Podcasting does not actually get you a hot gamer girlfriend. What it actually does is give you useful advice on tabletop role-playing, live-action role-playing, and all other forms of role-playing games. Sometimes we talk about other games. We can do whatever we want. It's our own podcast. Visit us on the web at www.gamerthepodcasting.blogspot.com.
Hello, I'm Sarah Deutsch of the Electronic Frontier Foundation. If you speak your mind in your blog or podcast, you need EFF. Protect your free speech rights at EFF.org.
Welcome back to Be the Story. Let's talk about milieu. Now, what I mean by milieu is the same thing that Orson Scott Card means when he talks about four different types of stories. Briefly, Orson Scott Card's four different kinds of stories are the milieu story, the idea story, character story, and event story. And he uses these four categorizations to talk about how a story is created, what element or idea, what root does the story spring from. The milieu is the whole world, everything surrounding the characters, not only the setting, but also the culture, the society, government, religion, everything. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about using a milieu story to generate a mood, but I am talking about the fact that some milieus have their own mood associated with them. For example, cultural milieus. Remember the movie Moonstruck? An Italian family in New York City. Or a great, underappreciated, moody film, Smilla's Sense of Snow. Smilla's Sense of Snow is set in Denmark, and Smilla herself and some of the other characters are Inuit. Smilla grew up in Greenland. There's lots of snow in this mystery science fiction film. And so for all of the action that occurs, there's still that underlying kind of a light and fluffy, calm white feeling underneath everything. Your mileage may vary, of course, because each of us is likely to react to a given milieu slightly differently, depending on our own histories or our own tastes. Still, milieu is an important element of establishing some sense of mood in a story, which is why authors, I think, instinctively feel the need to build layers of complexity into their universe. Another great example is in the story The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, the island of Santorini in Greece. Now, especially in the novel, as opposed to the movie, Lena, always the artist, she was just, you know, overcome with the visuals of the island. And you get a sense of this in the film as well. A compliment to the direction and cinematography. But this leads me to my second point, which is that how your sympathetic characters react to the milieu, this will affect how your audience reacts. Think about Robert Heinlein's novel, The Moon is a Harsh Mistress. It's one of my favorite novels. The society on the moon in this novel, the characters have certain feelings about it, but for the most part, it's just where they live. But when these characters in the storyline, when they travel to Earth, you see that the Earth is very similar to our Earth. It's very similar to the way Earth was when Robert Heinlein wrote the novel in the 1960s. But because the characters are seeing this society that we live in, because these characters come from a different culture, they're seeing things in a completely different way than we would. And we get to see it through their eyes. And so you get this sense that the Earth is oppressive, that humans tend toward neatly whitewashed evil. It's all a matter of sympathy and perspective. And since we're talking about the moon as a harsh mistress, it's useful to note that politicians use the power of sympathy in this very way all the time in order to impart one set of feelings or encourage one set of feelings or another set of feelings in a particular situation or a particular subculture or a particular milieu. All right, when we come back, I'm going to spend just a little time putting together a short piece that demonstrates using milieu, to establish mood.
From the worlds between the pages of your favorite book to adventures teetering on the edge of the dice. The pilot's at the helm and our course is set. The dream ship gathers speed across the sea of possibilities. Welcome aboard the Dragonhearth.
I'm Tracy Hickman.
And I'm Laura Hickman. Each month we explore the limitless expanse of creative fiction and games, from the nuts and bolts of writing and publishing to the worlds of our creation.
Whether you're looking for practical advice on plot, character, and setting, or in search of new and distant realms of speculative fiction to explore, you'll find a home here on Dragonhearth.
Join our next voyage through your favorite RSS server or by visiting us at DragonhearthProductions.com. Tracy and Laura Hickman's Dragonhearth, voyages into the realms of imagination.
How do we generate mood using milieu? Well, it's very similar to how we'd generate mood using expectations, except that the tool that we use to invoke a feeling in the audience is the setting or other aspects of the milieu rather than giving the audience expectations regarding what's going to happen in the story. So first, identify what feeling you want the audience to feel, and then ask yourself what elements of the milieu would support that feeling. Now, if you know your audience pretty well, you can choose elements of the milieu that will directly have an effect on your audience. Sometimes it's not necessary, actually, to identify which emotion you want the audience to feel. Sometimes you don't even know what the emotion is. Sometimes it's enough just to have a certain cultural feel to the story. Even if each audience member, each reader, or each person watching the film, even if each person is going to interpret what they see in the story differently from the person sitting beside him, sometimes that's enough. You just want it to make a strong impression. But other times, you do want to identify the emotion and then apply that to the audience by writing it into the story. If you have a particular emotion you want the audience to feel, you can support that feeling by having the audience identify with one of your characters. Take one of your sympathetic characters and ask what elements of the surrounding culture or the surrounding setting does the character, would cause the character to feel the way I want the audience to feel. So, for example, on BeTheStory.com, I wrote a quick little couple of paragraphs that are supposed to be reminiscent. The main character is reminiscing as she walks through a particular setting. Now, I really didn't imbue this character with very much sympathy, but she's not an unsympathetic character, certainly. And in fact, there are some elements that would cause the reader to sympathize with her. So, you know, maybe you can tell me whether I completely failed at making it a reminiscent mood, imbuing it with a reminiscent mood. But basically, in order to do it, all I did was to pick a scene that causes the character to reminisce and to feel certain feelings and kind of just lead the reader along in feeling those same feelings. Next week, the last part in this series of setting the mood, using conflict to enhance the mood. Thank you very much for listening to Be the Story. If you have any comments, please go to BeTheStory.com and write a comment, post a comment on the blog, or email me, TimK@BeTheStory.com, or you can use our audio comment phone line, 206-350-STRY. That's 206-350-7879. It's been fun. Bye now.